You're still on Soul Circle with Letitia Vambili. We've got a wonderful guest in studio this morning. Hi, Divinity.
Hello.
Her name is Divinity Roji. Let me just read you a little bit about her. She is the author of a self-published poetry collection titled My Scars Are Now My Beauty Spots, which highlights some of the lessons she has learned in her journey of becoming. She's also an MC, a speaker, a poet. She's a voiceover artist, a writer, a wellness practitioner, events project manager, events consultant, events venue consultant, and freelancer. And in her different capacities, Divinity has worked and associated with organizations and brands such as the Nelson Mandela University, APSA, Women in ICT, Office of the Premier, Nedbank, and SAIMI, to mention but a few. And she now, you know, overlooks so many other things, including the book that we want to talk about today. So apart from everything you just heard, she's literally Wonder Woman. Divinity, you're Wonder Woman. She also now has published a book together with her husband, Anthony, and the book is called To Elope, The Journey of Taking the Road Less Traveled. Divinity, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you today. So we're talking about a purpose-driven marriage, a marriage driven by God, which can be very different from the conventional feelings of I want the big day, I want the big wedding. You and your husband had that awakening quite quickly. So how did the Lord lead you differently into your covenant, and what was God calling you to do apart from just being in love?
So like you're saying, I had an expectation in terms of what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. I'd seen other girls, I've seen in my family, not just friends, getting married. So it was going to be quite an exciting time. I've seen all the celebrations that happen. So I had an expectation of what my big day was going to look like and what was going to happen. I was excited to tell my family, you know. So I'm Xhosa. And we have a cultural process that we follow. When one is going to get married, there are lobola negotiations. We welcome the groom into the family. The bride gets welcomed into the groom's family, and she gets given a new name and a new attire, certain clothing. So this is even before the actual big wedding day.
Wow.
All of these things happen. So I had that expectation that this is what's going to happen, and we are excited.
And then what happened?
And then... the big moment. So my husband had set out his intentions very early on in meeting me. I think it was like a month or two in meeting that he had set out his intentions and said that, I believe that you are my wife and we're going to get married and so forth and so on. And being Christian, at the church that we fellowshipped at the time, we knew that we had to go to the pastor and tell him that this is what's happening. And we did that, and then the pastor told us that, well, as you would know, and we did know, we were leaders at the time at the church, that we need to put you before the church and before you get engaged and pray for you that your journey may go well. So we're like, okay, so we go to the parents, all excited. Okay, this is what's going to happen. And my family is like, nope, that's not what's going to happen.
What did the family want to happen?
He must first come here and pay lobola. And lobola is, once it's paid, yes, you are, it's part of the engagement process. So, and once it's fully paid, you are traditionally married to a certain extent. So then my parents were like, no, he must come here first and he must pay lobola and we must meet this man. And I was like, now how do we balance these two things?
So basically you wanted to do the way how you felt God was leading you was this had to happen according to scripture first before 100%. You go to the traditional stuff.
Yes. So that's where we were. But then our family being who they are, they were like, nope, that's not how it's going to happen. That's not how you're going to do this. And we had obviously an option to say, okay, we'll see the church thing and God afterwards and we'll follow with the traditional processes. But we were so driven and convicted that we need to start this way.
I want to get back into how all of this leads to the elopement. I just want to give you a reminder. Divinity and her husband Tony's book is called To Elope, The Journey of Taking the Road Less Traveled. So I want to find out, just after we hear some words from our sponsors, how all of this actually transpires. quiet. We're still in studio with Divinity Roji, and she's telling us how the Lord actually led her to an elopement. So we understand, Divinity, the importance of the parental blessing, even scripturally. So you need to tell us, how on earth did God give you peace about the decision to actually elope? Because they were not falling in line with what you felt you needed to do spiritually.
Yes. So I think it's important to highlight that at the time, we didn't even know the word elopement. We didn't even know that there's such a thing as eloping. This is something that we only realized like years later into our marriage. So my husband had set out his intentions quite early on, and then we started with the processes. And after a year of back and forth with the families and different issues continuously coming up, it came to a point where we were almost like at a dead end. Because, like I said, we had the lobola negotiations, and then all the other ceremonies follow after that before the actual wedding day. So at some point, it came to where the families were refusing to actually meet. The families were refusing to meet. There was multiple cancellations of any attempted meetings. So we realized that if these people are refusing to meet, it means there won't be any lobola negotiations, none of the ceremonies will be done, and ultimately what it means is that we're not going to get married.
Wow. And you had confirmation that this is something God wanted you to do. God wanted you to get married.
100%. And I think it also has very much to do with the relationship that you have with God, or the relationship that I had with God. I mean, 2 weeks in or 2 months in meeting me and telling me that he wants us to get married, I told him he's crazy. That's the first thing. Before entertaining any of it, I was like, you are crazy. There is no way this is going to happen. How do you know? And I went on and on and on and on. But when I went aside and I prayed about it, and I was like, God, there's this guy, it actually settled within me, you know. And you know when something just lands and there's peace about it. And yes, it does not make much logical sense, but you just know that you know that you know.
Wow. More with Divinity Roji. Do not touch that dial. We'll be right back after the news. You're on Soul Circle with myself, Letitia Vambili, and we have got a person, a wonderful guest in our studio today. Her name is Divinity Roji. We're talking about godly purpose, the marriage and wedding edition, and how all her plans for this big wedding was foiled when it led to an elopement. The book she and her husband have published out soon is called To Elope, The Journey of Taking the Road Less Traveled. Divinity, you were talking about how basically you felt God telling you that you guys had to start the proceedings of your marriage according to scripture.
Yes.
Your parents wanted to do it traditionally.
Yes.
And it came to an impasse where you were feeling like, am I going to please God? Am I going to please my parents? Or are me and my husband going to end up in sin?
Yes. So that's exactly the point that we found ourselves at. And I grew up being such a people pleaser, and the biggest people that I wanted to please were my parents at all costs. It didn't matter what, you know. And I found things like that being challenged at the time that we needed to make a decision as to what we were going to do. And so, like I said earlier, that we didn't even know that there was a term or a word to it, and we weren't even trying to be disrespectful or disregarding our parents' wishes or being disobedient towards them. For us, it was a thing of, what are you going to choose to do? Are you going to choose to follow man, or are you going to choose to follow God?
Wow.
And that's where then we said, we're following God and it doesn't matter what. And it really took an understanding that yes, the scripture speaks about us being obedient to our parents, us honoring our parents, and that was very important for us. And that's what made the decision so difficult, because we kept on saying, but God, what about what you say in your word? And then when we took the decision, though, we said, we're just going to get married. We're going to go and we're going to get married. And as much as traditionally eloping is known as going to get married without telling anyone, it's in secret, it's just you and your partner, and you come back and tell everyone later, if you even do. In our case, we had actually told our parents.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
How did that go?
Yeah. It didn't go well. It didn't go well at all. And they really felt like we were just being defiant.
Yeah.
That we really just wanted, you know, we were hot and in love. And we just wanted to be whisked away by our feelings.
Yes.
And just do whatever that it is that we wanted to do. But we didn't even have the time or a moment to soak in the, you know, we feel we're in love and we're attracted to each other and all of those things because of everything that was happening around us.
Yes.
So we didn't even have that moment, you know. So it was a matter of saying to them that, listen, we have given you time.
Mm-hmm.
We've given you time. We've tried to see if we can meet each other halfway.
Mm.
And there just doesn't seem to be any meeting point.
And how many years ago was this, Divinity? Just for those that are listening and
so
wondering.
So we're 9 years married this year.
Nine years ago. Oh my goodness. I love that you talked about the importance of the parental blessing and how you guys were actually having that in mind.
Yes.
I want to go more into that because I believe God brings you full circle. I think it was 8 years later.
Yes, 8 years later. You know, and when we pray and we bring our concerns and our worries to God and the things that we, and the challenges that we are facing, sometimes we think that the solution is going to be instant and it's going to happen now.
Mm.
And the time that it took, an entire 8 years, we never could have imagined. And we kept on asking God, how is this going to happen? When is it going to happen?
Wow.
Because it was always at the fore of our mind that it has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to let go and let God.
Wow. We're talking about godly purpose within marriages and Divinity telling us her incredible story. If you have a similar story where God led you differently into your wedding marriage plans and he started to talk to you more about purpose, you can send us a message on 071-364-0376. I'm leaving you with Switch with question mark and we'll be right back. You're on Soul Circle and we're still with Divinity Roji and she's telling us how the Lord actually led her to elope. But we were talking about how 8 years into her marriage, the Lord actually brought everything back full circle into the parental blessing. So Divinity, how did you go from God told us to elope to now 8 years later, this would be last year, where the Lord actually called you back to the family blessing? And
yes.
And what happened when you guys went home? What were the differences 8 years later than how it would have been in
yes,
the beginning?
In the beginning. So in the 8 year period, we had tried, and perhaps we were trying by our own might and our own abilities because we really wanted it. But we saw how our families were getting softer and understanding exactly where we were coming from. We saw how initially they didn't even recognize us as married. Initially, we were just, to them, we might as well have been cohabiting.
Wow.
But we saw them starting to recognize our marriage, and we saw them starting to see how it wasn't about defiance, but it was really about choosing God. And that's how we live our life. Mm-hmm. And that's what our lifestyle is like. So it wasn't just about our marriage, but it's about everything in our life where we consult God, where we are led by the Spirit. In the 8 year period, they were able to see how we were leading our lives, and they were able to see other ways in which we were honoring them, you know, how we were still able to be there for them, still able to support them.
So basically, your marriage was a ministry to both your families.
100%.
And now that you'd come back 8 years later, were they different? Were they putting God first? How was your experience?
They
now?
Were so different. I mean, we were ready. We were like, okay, now it's going to be tough. We must be ready. So my husband had spoken to my family again and said, okay, we're at this point now and we really believe that this is the time for us to go back and sit down together again and talk again and find how we can move past where we had started from. And just from that point in them being so understanding, you know, and them receiving him with so much love. And because then we were going to do two ceremonies, which is welcoming of the bride and welcoming of the groom. And the welcoming of the groom happens at my home and welcoming of the bride happens at his home. And so we had to speak to both families in preparation for those ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the ones, you know, for example, when we said that there wouldn't be any slaughtering because traditionally there's meant to be slaughtering. They were like, yes, no, definitely. There can't be any slaughtering. You know, and they were the ones who were almost even leading us, you know, into saying that when we had started speaking to them, they said we need to start praying immediately in preparation. As we do all the preparations, let's make sure that we are praying about this first. Let's make sure that God is leading us in everything. We're like, okay.
Would I be correct in saying that God led you and your husband in a way to show your family that when it comes to your marriage, God comes first?
Yes.
And all those 8 years later, they then followed suit.
They then followed suit. And I mean, yes, there are people that are Christian in our families, but just the way that we stood for for God, and we stood for His word, and we stood in being led by Him, you know, and we were not just saying that we're Christian just to say that we're Christian or that we believe us and we just go to church on a Sunday and it's a one day thing, but it's actually a lifestyle. And that then encouraged them in that in Christianity being a lifestyle for them, and them following Christ in being led by Him, you know. So it was really beautiful to see that even when we had the ceremonies, it wasn't about anything else. Everyone that spoke up to speak spoke about how God's timing is so perfect, how everyone spoke about the restoration of God, how everyone spoke about the glory of God. And I was like, what? So, and I mean, ages ago, it would have just been about two people that are just getting married. So what?
So what would you say was then the purpose of your marriage? Why did you and your husband go through all of this? From you imagining this big, beautiful wedding and love and support and all those things, all these years, nine, almost 10 years later, what would you say God was trying to impart to you guys about your mission as a couple?
That it is not about us, firstly. Yes, we may have our dreams, our desires, our plans, our ambitions, but ultimately it's all about Him, His will, and His purpose. And that is not going to start out there in the nations. It's going to start here with our families. And if God is going to be seen in our families, He's going to be seen through us.
Oh, that is beautiful.
So we were the ones that were carrying that burden.
Oh, so God called you as the kind of light torch bearers in your family to model putting God above everyone else. I'm absolutely loving this conversation. If you want to hear more, stay tuned. We're still with Divinity Urology after this. Good afternoon. I'm enjoying the conversation and I'm blessed. Thank you so much, Thandi, for listening in. And Alice saying that the marriage was perfected by God because of grace. And she says, bless you and bless your family, Divinity.
Amen.
You can send through your messages as well on 071-364-0376. We're talking about how the Lord led you, Divinity, and your husband to an elopement so that the families could submit to God's will and the two of you would keep from living in sin. You published a book that's coming out later this year. It's called To Elope, The Journey of Taking the Road Less Traveled. What is it that you wanted to convey, both you and your husband, with the publication of this book?
So we didn't know that such a thing as eloping exists. We only knew the wonderful stories that, you know, everybody has about how things went according to their plans. They got the wedding of their dreams and all of that. And we were like, are we the only people? And I mean, for a good 5 years into the marriage, we weren't even telling anyone how we got married. We weren't even saying a word about it because we're like, what is it? How do you explain it to somebody else? What do you say this is? And we just didn't have the language. So we're like, nope, we're just going to keep quiet. And also people look at you and they judge you and, you know. And so we're like, rather just not. And then post 5 years, I'd say at about our sixth or seventh year, then we started speaking and engaging with different couples, particularly young people also that were looking to get married, and we were telling our story. And then in that, we found out what it's actually called, or we finally got a name.
Wow. So the two of you were innocently led into elopement. And that's when you found out, like, God really bamboozled us.
So when we started speaking about it, engaging with different couples, and we also found that there's different challenges that people face. And we thought, how is it that we had never heard of this or never heard of anybody that did this? Mm-hmm. And understanding where they were coming from as well. And so that's when it was laid in our hearts to actually document our journey and write the book, and also the lessons that come with having gone on such a journey, because it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's very, very hard. It's emotionally draining. It's spiritually taxing. You really have to be sure that this is the journey that you are led into, and be sure of your reasons. Make sure that this is not just an escape out of something you just don't want to deal with, and you're just like, let me just go and elope. Mm-hmm. Because then that's actually going to catch up with you.
We actually just got a message saying, wow, such an interesting conversation. And you're right, it's an interesting conversation indeed. And what mm-hmm. I'm particularly interested in is your journey as a woman, having come into this idea that we're going to fall in love, we're going to have the, you know, the house, the children, the dog, whatever, and immediately being thrown into this purpose-driven thing where God was using you. And there's actually another message that says that she is the instrument who the Lord used for unity within the two families, that the Lord was using your marriage to bring your families to a place of putting God first. But as a woman, you know, we want that big day where it's all about us and everybody's looking at us and all of that. What did you go through having to lay down those ideas of what marriage would be?
And you speaking about the big wedding day that you want, even post the wedding day, you know, the pictures, the memories around it, and particularly for us in the community that we stayed in, being recognized as a married woman. Mm-hmm. So now we just went and did this. We went to Home Affairs. And so there hasn't been people witnessing, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it was just difficult to say, I'm married, because like, you're married? Married where? How? What are you talking about? No, but we didn't see your wedding. There's, like I said, that there's an actual attire that you get dressed in when you get welcomed into the groom's family. And you wear that for a certain period of time. And then post that, there are certain elements of that attire that you still continue wearing post you being married. So, for example, you have to have something wrapped around your waist. You must always have a head wrap on your head. You must be wearing something that covers your arms, like a jacket. So those little things. And I remember one time I had gone to support a friend and she was getting married. And so the morning of, and she was doing a traditional wedding. And so the morning of, we got, my husband and I got there, and I was just all nicely in my dress and I was looking all pretty. And one of the older women from my friend's family was like, oh, wow, you look so beautiful. But now it looks like a few things are missing.
Wow.
And she was referring to the head wrap and the scarf around my waist and so forth. And it was difficult, you know, in that moment. And so I have had to learn to deal with those difficult moments that are almost triggers and reminders that you didn't do the big wedding. Mm-hmm. So do you really qualify to be married, to be called a wife or a married woman in the community, when there are certain celebrations and certain gatherings? It's always a trigger. And I have to always go back to, why am I here? Mm. How did I get here? You know, and also going back to the biblical definition of what marriage is and what is a wife, and understanding that all these other things we have added on, and it's not necessarily what God says in His word. And so I'm not disqualified just because I didn't have a big wedding day.
I'm not disqualified just because I didn't have a big wedding day. Limon Kosi just sent a message saying, if Leave and Cleave could be personified, it's definitely your story, Sister Divinity. Your story is liberating me to trust God beyond the norm. Divinity, your story is liberating people to trust God beyond the norm. You're making me think of John 5 verse 41, which says, I do not receive glory from men. And earlier you were talking about how as a woman, you had to know that you are married because God consecrated you to your husband in marriage. He led you guys to get married and not to be caught up with the fact that things didn't go as planned.
Yes, and all the frills that we add on to what it should look like, what it should sound like, what it should feel like. I had to lay all of that down, you know, and it really was a difficult journey because I'm a girl, you know, you grow up and you
I love it.
And I like things. I'm I'm a girl that likes things. And I just really had to lay all of that down and take up what God was saying that we should take up. And each day I got to understand what it really means to just lay down your life.
Wow.
For a greater purpose. And at that time, I didn't even fully understand what this greater purpose is. You know, I spent days and nights and hours of crying to them. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know, and I had to grow into, you know, when we pray and we say we want to experience God more and we say we want to live in his purpose and we say we want to trust him and we've got all these amazing and beautiful things that we say to him. I think sometimes we have an expectation that it's just going to sprinkle from the sky like dust into our lives. But I've learned that it's through circumstances that he puts us in where we are able to get to that level of maturity that we're praying for and praying about. And so God really put me in this situation, and in me saying that I want to trust you more, he was like, okay, now I'm asking you to trust me, you know. If you knew a level of water being water that you can swim in, I'm revealing to you that you can actually walk on water. Are you actually going to stay at the level of swimming, which everybody does? Everybody can get into water and swim, but can everybody walk on water? And that takes revelation. That takes knowing who is it that is asking this of you, and understanding that he will never ask me to lay my plans and my life down for nothing.
For nothing. So what would you say to women about a purpose-driven marriage?
When we are going to get married, we think of what we are about to get into, right? And we're like, I'm going to get married. I'm going to get into this marriage relationship or this marriage covenant. But I think little do we think about what we are being taken out of. I grew up in a very traditional family that observed a lot of traditional practices. And as much as I had never, my family knew that I'm Christian and that I don't believe in what they were doing, but I'd never actually taken a stand. You know, in support of them, I'd be there maybe, you know, I'll help cook, I'll just be in the background somewhere. But I'd never actually taken a stand to say, this is what I believe in and this is how I want to lead my life. And this was the one time that I actually had to do that. I had to stand up and say, I choose God, you know, and I choose a lifestyle that is led by him, and I choose a lifestyle of the word. And I had never realized until that point that I'm being led out of something as much as I'm being led into something. And the into that I'm being led to, I'm going to find out as I step into it. So I'd say that have such a strong, build your relationship with God, build your relationship with the Holy Spirit, that when he speaks to you, you know and you recognize that it is him speaking to you. Because at times when we have to make difficult decisions, there can be so much noise around us, and we may try and want to please so many people and so many other things. But if we have built that relationship and we know the voice of God, we are able to know which direction to go.
You know, when you say that, if you know the voice of God, you know which direction you're able to go. Earlier on in the show, we paralleled this wedding marriage thing to Mary as well as Abigail, where they had to have a personal relationship with God that revealed to them that this marriage of mine is about more than being in love and being a beautiful couple and building a life. Those personal relationships led them to personal encounters that equally 100%. Led them to who they were called to be within those marriages, good and bad. That is incredible. We still have a little bit more time with Divinity. Do not touch that dial. We'll be back after our sponsors. We've reached the end of Soul Circle for this Monday, and our incredible guest in studio today, Divinity Roji. Now, your book is launching later this year. It's called To Elope, The Journey of Taking the Road Less Traveled. Where can people find you?
So we are on social media, on Instagram and on Facebook. Obviously, they can find me as Divinity Roji, and they can also follow my husband and I as Paige, Loving, Learning and Becoming, where we just talk about the lessons that we've been through. And we'll also be putting up the information of the book launch up there.
Awesome stuff. And of course, later on this year, when the book launches, you can also find it on our social media platforms at The Vambilis. Divinity, what is your final word to women about this purpose-driven marriage? What are your final words?
My final word is on obedience. Mm. There's the saying that says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Mm. And that is, it actually is very true. Because when you are not obedient to the journey that you're meant to be taking, you'll find yourself having to make unnecessary sacrifices along the way. And you don't want to find yourself at that point where, because if you willingly go, it's better than being dragged to go. That's the way I see it. So I'd rather willingly submit to the will and the purpose of God for my life, so that then I can get, you know, Jesus came that we may have life and have it in abundance. Mm. And the only way to enjoy life in abundance is living life in obedience.
Amen.
And when we seek provision and when we seek all the things that we want in our life, all of that is found in obedience, because you don't know where God will lead you, where we will actually meet your answer and you'll meet your need. So that is my final word, that train yourself to be obedient to the voice of God and to the word of God in your life. Mm. No matter who says what, no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances around you are, make sure that you're obedient to the word of God, because at the end of the day, that is where your provision is.
Train yourself to be obedient to the words of God. I'm going to echo the words of Limo, who just sent us her WhatsApp message. She said, thank you, Divinity, for sharing your story. It has been yet another incredible Monday as we talked about purpose-driven marriages, that as women, we need to lay down the soulish stuff and go more into the spirit to discover, why is God bringing me into this covenant? Mm. Is it to take me out of something or is it to take me into something? I will be with you again on Wednesday morning with my husband, of course, on Surviving Life with the Vambilis between 11 and 1 p.m. Otherwise, you can catch Soul Circle every Monday between 11 and 1 p.m. I leave you with the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again.